right now. We're going to start the hour off with Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, did I pull you out of the Northwest Arkansas Touchdown Club?
No, you didn't. I didn't make it this week. You know, they've got a lot of great guests, and I'm there pretty much every week. I did not make it to this week's meeting, so you're all good.
All right, cool. I was just seeing some of the tweets, and I was like, man, I hope I'm not messing things up for him. All right, I'm going to start here. Our Culligan Water question of the day. You know, the schedule came out yesterday. I know you know that. But right. No Little Rock game was, you know, announced. So we're saying, we know it's an SEC game. If it is, most people think it is, the last ever game at War Memorial Stadium. If it is, mm-hmm. and you want to blow this thing out, you want to make the folks in the rest of the part of the state, you know, kind of feel honored about the history of War Memorial Stadium, what should the opponent be? Who should it be? Because everybody's thinking it's Vanderbilt, right? Jimmy, everybody's like, oh, give them the crappy game. It'll be Vanderbilt. No doubt about it. We've assumed that for a while. But it was kind of weird that wasn't on there. I don't know. Maybe who knows what's going on. But I'm just thinking, what if Jeff Long, because he said he doesn't want this decision to pull apart the state. What if he's coming up with a grand scheme to honor War Memorial, the great history of War Memorial, and to blow this thing out and have a huge celebration? Who would be the fitting opponent for this?
Well, they're not playing Alabama in War Memorial. I mean, that's not going to happen. First year, I think in theory that's a cool idea. That's a great idea. At the same time, it's also the same year that they're opening a $160 million expansion to their stadium in Fayetteville. So, I don't know that that's really. I mean, I'm sure that they're going to do something nice for the game that they play in Little Rock, and that they're going to try and maybe make that a little bit more special than it has been these last few years. But when you look at priorities and what they're going to be concentrating on, all those suites paid for by high-dollar boosters and the new setup and just kind of the fresh look at Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville is going to be the one that's going to be at the top of the list. You know, like you said, everybody thinks it's going to be Vanderbilt. You know, maybe it's Ole Miss. Maybe they play Ole Miss in Little Rock. I can see it being either one of those two. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a tribute video, if there's some sort of cool maybe fan thing where they, you know, like white out, something like that. Some sort of sponsor deal where they really make a point to remember everything that's happened in Little Rock and the important classic games and program history that's been there. But I don't think they're going to play Alabama there. They haven't played LSU there in the last few years, so I don't see any reason why that would change, especially not in a year when they're opening a major renovation at their main stadium in Fayetteville.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. All right, Jimmy, yesterday last night the players spoke with the media, and it sounds like to me Jared Cornelius is a very motivated, determined young man after what happened last week. Did you sense that?
Yeah, you know, he got one question about dropping the first ball of the TCU game, and was asked how much that affected his confidence and if he lost some, you know, especially given the fact that, well, obviously he's had the back issues, but, you know, you miss a bunch of practice time and you kind of wonder, like, man, am I the same player? And he kind of answered it and said, no, you know, it didn't really affect how I viewed myself. I didn't lose any confidence. And, you know, very politely said, you know, that's all I want to, you know, I'd like to move on and not talk about this anymore and focus on Texas A&M. And, you know, real politely, but he was firm about it. And you could tell that he, just from what he did in the 2 weeks since they played last, he's really been determined not to have a repeat performance. He said that he lost 10 pounds, dropped from 215 to 205. And, you know, for someone like myself who's always trying to, like, figure out how to lose weight, I'm like, man, how in the world? But obviously, you know, you don't practice for an extended period of time, and then you start practicing, you're going to probably lose some weight. But he also cut calories and just ate smaller portions for his meals, because he wanted to get quicker, wanted to feel lighter on the field, and I think he thinks that he's been able to do that. He also stayed after practice and ran 100 extra routes a day and caught at least 200 passes from the jug machine, just to try and maybe make up for some of that time that he's lost. Obviously, nothing quite replicates game action, but he's obviously trying to sort of fast-track his way back, because I think he knows how important he is and how much he means to this offense.
You know, Brett Bielema was asked about the struggles of the offense, the passing game, Austin Allen, during his SEC teleconference earlier. You know what? It was pretty simple. You take away Keon Hatcher, Drew Morgan, Jeremy Sprinkle, most guys are, and most offenses will struggle. You know what? You got to throw in Jerick Cornelius, because he's been basically a no-show the first 2 weeks. Two catches, 12 yards. It's pretty easy to explain. You got to replace those numbers, those catches somehow, and they haven't found a way yet.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, when you look at Cornelius too, another thing is, like, man, he was banged up before the Belt Bowl, missed practice. Then he has missed a ton of practice dating back to the end of last year. So it's not been just a recent thing with him. He's been out for a while. But yeah, obviously, when you lose the number of senior receivers that they had last year, you mentioned Cody Hollister is even another guy that obviously he wasn't incredible at Arkansas, but he goes on and you know, does pretty well. Of course, goes to the Patriots, and he and his brother do well. I mean, Austin basically had to start over from scratch this year, and I think it's kind of an interesting situation for Michael Smith, Arkansas's receiver coach, because they have a lot of athleticism and more speed than they've had in the past at receiver, but it's all young guys and guys that they don't trust in the game to put in the game at this point. Someone like T.J. Hammonds is probably one of the five most athletic players on the team. Davion Warren, another. Jordan Jones, we've heard all camp and all summer about just how explosive he is and what a big play threat he could be, but he's not really gotten on the field. He hasn't really been targeted. He's the guy that Austin was upset with late in the TCU game. You know, it was a culmination of a lot of things, but Jordan didn't run the right route on that play, and that's kind of been the issue. These guys who are young, Jerod Barnes, another guy that's just really athletic, but they're all young. They don't necessarily know the playbook enough for the coaching staff or often have trust in them. So you've got older guys playing in their place who, you know, at this point have not produced. Deion Stewart is one who, you know, he's so small, and he knows all the positions, and they can trust him to line up anywhere, run any play, but he just hasn't really been productive to this point. LaMichael Petway, they're going to play five receivers on Saturday, they said. And he went from being a starter in the season opener to not on that, you know, he probably not in that mix at this point, or wasn't really, didn't seem to be yesterday when we talked to Michael Smith. You know, they've got, I mean, Jonathan Nance has been good. He's been their best receiver by far to this point. But the young guys aren't ready. And the older guys haven't really performed at this point. So, yeah, that definitely affects how Austin Allen plays. You kind of feel for him because he doesn't know, hey, is this guy going to get open or is he going to run the right route? And that makes it tough to be a quarterback. He talked a lot last week about letting it rip and just trusting that they're going to get open and throwing them open as opposed to waiting to see it. You know, I think he's going to try and do that at the same time. It's got to be hard when you're not 100% confident in those guys, and they're not the same guys you've had so much success throwing to. So it's going to be an ongoing process. I'll be interested to see how much different they do this week, just because he seems like he's worked a lot, maybe extra, trying to get on the same page with them, and obviously they know that they need to.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter from WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, we were talking earlier about how, you know, A&M's pass defense ranks last in the SEC. They struggled mm-hmm. against UCLA in the comeback. They struggled against Nicholls State and Lafayette. What happens if Arkansas can't throw it on A&M? You know, then what?
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing. You look at TCU playing SMU, and SMU scores 26, and you kind of say, kind of gives you a little bit of pause. It'll be interesting because A&M at the same time, they obviously they rank last in the SEC in pass defense, but they're, I think, second in sacks. They're near the top of the conference in run defense. They have a good defensive line, and they obviously pressured Austin Allen last year. Obviously, that's with Myles Garrett and Davion Hall, but they're still a defensive line that can cause trouble. And with Arkansas's offensive line issues, I don't know that it's necessarily a given that Austin Allen is going to have a ton of time. It'll be interesting if they try and maybe do a little bit more with the quick passing game, get the ball out of his hands quicker to avoid the rush. Another thing, A&M obviously has given up a lot of yards, but at the same time, they are, I believe, first in the SEC and near the top in the nation in turnover margin. They've got 10 takeaways in 3 games and have really had a nose for the football and been able to sort of get out of some jams and, you know, sort of bent but didn't break because they gave up yardage but then were able to force the turnover. So I think that's something Arkansas has got to be cognizant of. Armani Watts is a playmaker, and they have struggled. They've got younger guys at corner. It'll be interesting because you've got two position groups that really haven't proven themselves to be SEC caliber at this point between A&M's corners and Arkansas's receivers. Something's got to give. Arkansas obviously needs it to be this passing game. They need to be able to throw the ball just so that they can back people out of the box and be able to run the ball. Because A&M's defensive line is so good against the run, I think that'll be important. They don't want to play against 8 in the box and a loaded front. So being able to throw the ball and being able to continue giving A&M trouble in the pass game is going to be a huge, huge key on Saturday.
We got Jimmy Carter with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Jimmy, defensively, the focus has been on the offense, you know, turning things around. Uh-huh. But, you know, the defense was okay. You know, they weren't great. What is it the defense has been working on the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think they know that they're going to have to stop the run. They go into the TCU game, and when you think of TCU, you think that they're going to spread you out. They're going to run a ton of plays, and they did. They did do that, but they also ran it right at Arkansas, and Arkansas didn't really respond very well. Kellen Bond's a freshman, and he's gotten better game by game as A&M's quarterback, and he may split time on Saturday, but he's somebody who's going to run. He can hurt you with his feet. You know, we saw in this game last year, Trevor Knight just absolutely killed Arkansas with a few big runs just because they weren't prepared for it. They didn't really account for him. I think they know that they have to account for Kellen Mond. I think Paul Rhodes knows that, and that has to be on the whiteboard before the game. It has to be part of the game plan. They got run over last year, and A&M's first or second in the SEC in rushing. I think they by far lead in attempts, so they're going to run the ball. They've got two really good backs. Travion Williams is one of my favorite players in the SEC. He's just so quick, explosive, and Keith Ford's a really good complement, kind of a more of a short yardage guy, someone who's physical. They completely whipped Arkansas last year, and their offensive line, I don't think, has been the issue really in most of their losses. I think their offensive line is one of the better units in the SEC, and so I don't know that I would say I worry about Arkansas, but I think that's a big question whether they can stop the run. They know it's coming. You know, they've had 2 weeks to prepare for it. They prepared for it in the summer, but stopping it's a whole other deal. We've seen Sosa Aguin be a playmaker and be somebody who's a who has the potential to be a top tier SEC player. The rest of the defensive line, I'm not so sure about. I mean, they will. Saturday is going to be a big show and prove game because they know what's coming. They know that they're going to have to take away the run. They know they're going to get hit in the mouth. They know that A&M wants to be physical and make it as easy as possible for their freshman quarterback. So it's going to be a really interesting battle of wills and kind of a telling. You know, they switch to the 3-4 to for sort of situations like this to allow them to get better personnel on the field, to allow them to be in better position to stop teams. Play on the edges and have more speed and all that, and I think that's going to be put to the test Saturday. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for it, so it'll be an interesting showdown for sure. They know what's happening, and it just comes down whether they can stop or not.
Great stuff, Jimmy. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming on. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Wes. Have a good one.
See you, Jimmy. Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com.